Welcome to the Humanity Matters podcast, where we discuss and reflect on faith and philosophy, leadership and social issues. We want to engage in ideas and what it means to be a free human being in the pursuit of human flourishing. For more information, please visit our website, philipfletcher.org. And now, the Humanity Matters podcast. All right, so we're on this week. We are looking at utilitarianism, utility, action. Will an action produce an outcome that is pleasurable instead of pain? Will it produce a high level of happiness instead of sadness, light instead of darkness? All right? So we're going to look at somebody named Jeremy Bentham. All right? Who really focused on pleasure. Pleasure, where we get this word hedonism. Alright. Some years later, a man named John Stuart Mill, a utilitarian himself, looked at what Bentham was proposing in regards to pleasure hedonism and his, what we will look at, the utilitarian calculation. John Stuart Mill looked at flourishing, eudaimonia. We looked at that the first week. I referenced that in terms of human flourishing. What outcomes are going to produce human flourishing? So essentially, utilitarianism is a philosophy which teaches an action is right. The action is right insofar as it produces or it promotes happiness for the greatest number of people. An action is right when the outcome produces the greatest number, when the greatest number of people experience happiness or pleasure or flourish. Now, implied in that, there are trade-offs. Implied in the idea of utilitarianism is looking at when do the rights of the individual end and the needs of the collective, of the society, begin. Implied in that is the recognition and realization that a society is the sum of the individuals who are existing in that society. So what may be expressed in a society is what is desired by the majority of those individuals. But then what about the minority? What about their happiness? What about their pleasure? What happens when the happiness of the minority runs up against the happiness of the majority, who prevails? Let's get started. Consider this for your pleasure.
is this man Wakanda or not? Because Kalele, come back to me.
And murdered your people. Justice your king couldn't deliver.
I don't care that you brought Claw.
Only reason I don't kill you while you stand is because I know who you are. Now what do you want?
I want the throne.
Hey, you, the tuna.
Y'all sitting up here comfortable. Must feel good. It's about 2 billion people all over the world that looks like us. But their lives are a lot harder. Wakanda has the tools to liberate them all.
And what tools are not?
Vibranium. Your weapons.
Our weapons will not be used to wage war on the world. It is not our way to be judge, jury, and executioner for people who are not our own.
Not your own. But didn't life start right here on this continent? So ain't all people your people?
I am not king of all people. I am king of Wakanda. And it is my responsibility to make sure our people are safe and that Vibranium does not fall into the hands of a person like you.
Son, we have entertained the charlatan for too long. Reject his request.
Oh, I ain't requesting nothing. Ask who I am.
You're Eric Stevens, an American black operative. A mercenary nicknamed Killmonger, that's who you are.
That's not my name, princess. Ask me, King.
No.
Ask me. Take him away.
Ungubandi! Indigo Indigaka! Unyana Gandobu!
Huh? Unyana Gandobu?
I found my daddy with Pentacles in his chest. You ain't the son of a king, you're the son of a murderer.
We ever see something? Lies.
I'm afraid not, Queen Mother.
You think that that went too?
Hey, Auntie.
I'm exercising my blood right. The challenge for the mantles of King and Black Panther.
Do not do this, T'Challa.
As the son of Prince Njobu, he is within his rights.
He has no rights here. The challenge will take weeks to prepare.
Weeks? I don't need weeks. The whole country ain't gotta be there. I just need him and somebody to get me out of these chains.
T'Challa, what do you know of this?
I accept the challenge.
It's not about the throne. The throne is a means. It's not about the mantle of Black Panther. It was a means. A means for what? It's two different arguments happening between T'Challa and Killmonger. The rights of the few versus the right of the many. Now, what was T'Challa's argument? Somebody.
That he was the king of Wakanda and not the king of everybody.
So?
So why would he help them? They're not his people.
So in the positive, what is his responsibility?
Protect his people.
His people?
Yes.
All right. So pictorially, this is the world. T'Challa is arguing, my rights and responsibilities begin and end here, right? Mm-hmm. Somebody argue as to why he's right. Why is the vibranium, specifically, the weapons and all the resources and the safety and security of the individuals who live in Wakanda Why is that his sole responsibility?
Because vibranium is only found in Wakanda. So this where they live at. They don't live anywhere else but Wakanda. So it belongs to them.
Okay. Somebody else.
Say he trying to do this for his people, but really he could just be there to, you know, give vibranium for his own personal need.
Okay. All right. So the happiness, the pleasure that T'Challa derives from being King and Black Panther of Wakanda is that he is looking out solely for the needs of his people. That is what he has been charged with. And he would understand from himself to his father to his grandfather all the way back to the beginning, his responsibility with those dual mantles, his pleasure is derived at doing that one unique thing. Am I correct? Now, Killmonger is arguing for a different type of pleasure and happiness. What is it?
I think he's arguing for the whole world, not only for Wakanda.
Is it the whole world?
Yes.
No.
Specifically, the black people.
Okay. And so Killmonger's argument is for what?
The black people.
But specifically what?
The happiness.
The vibranium.
The vibranium again is a means.
So you wouldn't use that argument?
No, you can, but it's still a means. To what?
Power.
Okay. Power to be used to do what? In regards to aren't all... these all our people, since they originated on this continent.
You want to get them the same luxuries that people from Wakanda have.
Okay. Anything else?
I think he has lived long with the people of like the black community, and he sees that only like they are suffering, and Wakanda has the right and the tools to help them reduce or to help them fight whatever they are going through.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why.
Okay, so you're arguing that Killmonger is recognizing that there's a minority of the brown skinned worldwide community, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who is flourishing. Was experiencing a level of happiness. And Killmonger is making the argument that should not only happen in Wakanda, but it should be experienced
all black,
right? Now, a point of utilitarianism that you need to consider is this. The pursuit of your individual happiness has consequences to the society, to the group, to the collective. Heck, the pursuit of your individual happiness in this class has an impact on this class. If by chance you secured the answer key to the midterm. Right? And you shared it with nobody else. Right? That would have an impact on the group.
How?
How?
How? How
How would that fall back on Google?
Because next,
what if it doesn't fall back on you?
You found out, the class found out that DeMarcus had the key.
How would they find out?
I don't know. He just started talking.
He couldn't run anymore.
That's why you just didn't tell me.
But DeMarcus says, I'm not sharing it with you. Do you have a right to that key?
No.
Even if it increased your happiness of getting an A?
Just because it increased my happiness doesn't have a right to it. It's somebody else's own.
Okay. Good. Now, Killmonger is coming into the throne room believing that the global community has a right to the resources of Wakanda because of skin color, shared ancestry. Does the global community have a right to those resources?
No.
Why not?
Because they don't own it.
Yeah. I was gonna say he might also feel that way because he is a part of their community, and since he could be in that same, he could be the king of the throne. I think he feels that since I'm a part of y'all, and I feel this way, that y'all should agree with me. If you get what I'm saying.
Okay.
I could relate this to something. In our country, we have this law, right? Whereas illegitimate children cannot gain access to properties or anything that is passed down from generation to generation when the parent dies. And it's been a big debate for years, right? And the debate is, if you are not a legitimate child that has been in marriage, or if you are an outside child, then you are technically not qualified to have a say when your parent dies and you want to gain any type of properties or anything that they might have had in their name. So if you don't own it, you can't have it. If you don't have the last name, you cannot have it.
Mm-hmm.
So how can you, as a person, say that that you should be able to have something that
you're entitled to?
Yeah, you're entitled to something that you didn't work for yourself, or you're entitled to something that you don't own.
So a question we've got to ask ourselves is this. Does a happy outcome, an outcome that increases the greatest amount of pleasure for the greatest number of individuals, does that justify prevailing over the individual rights of those individuals within that community? If the outcome produces happiness, should all of us prevail over DeMarcus? In fact, if offering these spicy, sweet, chili Doritos, all right, increase the level of happiness for everybody in this room. I see you looking at this bag.
Lick your lips.
No.
Doesn't that justify the action as being right?
Yeah, I think
so.
Hold on. Go ahead.
It's mine and I paid for it.
It's yours and you paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
But you brought it in an environment to where other people could be home.
And you're gonna, you can look at it and be hungry.
Oh,
it's mine, I paid for it with the money that I worked for.
Exactly. Okay. Anybody make a counter argument?
I feel the same way.
You feel the same way what?
I don't feel that I'm entitled to get her stuff because it belongs to her.
Because it belongs to her.
Mm-hmm.
Because she paid for it.
Yes.
Because she worked for it.
Yes.
And this is wholly of hers.
Yes.
And we as a group cannot agree to come and take it from her.
I personally
We can.
We could.
Personally, the group could, but I wouldn't.
So you wouldn't participate in a agreed upon decision that we would prevail and take her degree up.
That's not right. No, I wouldn't.
You wouldn't.
I wouldn't participate.
Okay.
We're not talking with our stomachs, we're talking with our brains.
I wouldn't participate because I'd be like, hey. Because
what if I did that to you? If you had some nice chips in here.
You can try.
What if he was thirsty? We all want to
try. You can try.
So, with utilitarianism, it is not prioritizing the individual need. It is looking at the group. It is looking at the society and seeing what is going to bring about the happiness for the society, or in our context right now, the classroom. Pleasure. What is going to produce pleasure? What is going to produce pleasure? Now, pleasure differs between people. Happiness differs between people. Now, what gets you more excited? This?
Grammarly's 5 tips for writing a professional email.
Email writing is super important.
Produce the greatest amount of happiness or pleasure? Was it Kendrick Lamar's Humble? Anybody? Or was it Denzel Washington's Oscar-winning portrayal in Training Day? All right. Now, let's define our terms as always. So what is utility? What is the preeminent action? The action. When we hear this word utility, what is the action that is going to produce the greatest amount of pleasure or happiness? Next, utilitarianism falls under what is called consequentialism. We are looking at not the motive, not even necessarily the act. We are focused on the outcome. We are focused on the outcome for the greatest number of individuals. And we keep driving that home. All right? In contrast, egoism. It is considering the self-interest of the individual. Now, self-interest is not necessarily bad. Self-interest is important because you need to set up boundaries for yourself, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So that you can be safe emotionally, physically, spiritually, whatever. Can you consider, let's swing back a week, killing old people as being a justified act in order to produce happiness for young people? Would it be right? Would it be right? When would it be wrong? So, for utilitarian, we gotta look at four aspects. First, let's consider it being democratic. So the society is at play in the process. The society is getting together, and if you will, in our context, we are casting lots, we are voting. And the majority outcome prevails. So there's a lot of talk that this society is a democratic society. Okay. So what that infers is that multiple people are getting involved to make a decision about an action that is supposed to produce a particular outcome. But implied in that is what? There are competing what? Ideas. Actions. There are some that say, yes, yes, yes. There are others that say, oh, hell no. But it is democratic, nonetheless. All right? Next, it is empirical. Mean by empirical is you're looking at numbers, you're looking at data, you're looking at information in order to inform the process and making a decision as to whether or not this considered action should be taken up or not. Two related. Progressive, so it challenges the status quo. Excuse me. And then finally, optimistic. It's moving forward, change. Things can be better. Now, for us to arrive at determining whether or not a particular action should be moved upon in order to produce the greatest amount of, that's going to produce the greatest amount of pleasure or happiness, it is what is called the utilitarian calculation. So it's a pleasure. Versus pain. It is intensity of the pleasure. It is the duration of it. It is number impact.
You should make sure you write those down.
Five is the fruitfulness. And finally, long-term benefits. So, keep hitting on this one. We're considering the utilitarian calculation. It's pleasure versus pain. Now, can you quantify pleasure? Can you quantify pain? Possibly. You can assign some units to it, a one, a two, or degrees on the scale of 1 to 7. Is this going to produce pleasure? So if we go back to the Kendrick Lamar versus Denzel Washington example, which one created the greatest amount of pleasure for you? If I were to say on a scale of 1 to 10, right? Kendrick Lamar may have produced 8. For me, Denzel Washington's portrayal in Trinidad, that produced a 10 for me. All right? Next, the intensity. What was the intensity of what you felt as you listened and watched Kendrick Lamar versus listening and watching Denzel Washington? Did it really make, did it move you? Did it make you feel some type of way, quote unquote? Next, the duration of it. Specifically, how long did it last? Is it something fleeting? Is it something that you're going to carry for the next 30 minutes, the next hour? Are you going to be walking on clouds for the next 30 days? I don't know. Next, the number impacted. Now, if we look at those two examples, Kendrick Lamar and Denzel Washington. Denzel Washington won the Oscar for his portrayal in Training Day. Alonzo, Kendrick Lamar won a Grammy, many for his album. And that song, Humble. But essentially, the action under consideration, how many people can this impact? How many people can experience a level of pleasure or happiness that's going to be at this level of intensity for a period of time? Five, what is it going to produce? What's going to be the ripple effects of this outcome that is producing happiness? And what will be the long-term benefits of it? Any questions up to this point? So, back to Killmonger, T'Challa. Let's pick this apart. Let's apply the utilitarian calculation to this. For T'Challa, what's the pleasure derived at the Wakandans being an isolated nation who has these resources? What is the pleasure that is derived from that? What happiness do they experience?
What?
You want to like rate it on like 1 to 10?
Yeah.
I feel like it's about a 10.
Yeah, I said it's a 10 for them. They are the only ones who have it.
Okay.
So for him, keeping the vibranium in Wakanda is going to produce the greatest amount of pleasure for their people. So for him, that was the morally correct decision to make.
Okay. And how's that pleasure going to be expressed?
Safety.
Okay. What else?
Peace.
Okay. What else? What pleasure is there in isolating oneself, segregating oneself, one's group, off from the rest of the world?
Yeah, no conflict. There will be conflict.
The amount they have.
Okay, the amount that they have? Mm-hmm. All right. There won't be conflicts.
There
won't be conflict?
Yeah.
Explore that.
Oh, I feel like that. I think there will be conflict.
Hold on a second. Go ahead. What do you mean, no conflict?
They don't need to like fight other country or other people to gain the resources. They have the resources and everything for themselves alone. So I think they are safe and they don't need anything for other people.
Hmm. Why do they have the Dora Milaje? Something to think about. Somebody else.
I feel like the conflict would come from an outside source. Like if it's any other people out there like Killmonger that want to like, you know, steal a vibranium. I feel like they won't have conflict within their own nation. The conflict will come from another nation for another person.
Okay. What would be the pleasure for Killmonger?
You have a vibranium.
Okay. But why?
He get to feel like a hero.
He says they could heal his weapons.
But why?
So he can put it to his own use, whatever he gotta do. Cause they mentioned war. So if that's
war against who?
Who else?
Other nations.
War against the rest of the world.
War
and they'll have that, so they'll be able to defeat him, I guess.
But that would just be it.
Who's the war against?
The war is gonna be against the other nations that's not liberated. What's the opposite of liberating?
Oppressed.
It's gonna be against the other nations that's oppressing black people.
Okay.
I was gonna say they probably just say they do give it to him, then he use it on them, and then take them out, and then he'll have it all to himself, I guess.
Okay. So the path to Killmonger's pleasure is pain. Weapons, war, yeah. Right? What's the intensity of this pleasure for either the individuals who are making their utilitarian arguments? Because both are making a utilitarian argument, right? One for a small minority, right? Another for the world.
I feel like it'll be more intense for Killmonger.
Okay.
Because if vibranium stays in Wakanda, they just gonna be still experiencing whatever peace they have, and they gonna be comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But if Killmonger does his plan, he takes it out, he's gonna have to deal with the war and all the other stuff. So it's gonna be more intense for him.
Okay. Let's jump to number 5. Let's look at fruitfulness. Which action can bear more fruit?
kill him because he with T'Challa is the vibranium is in an isolated space. But if Killmonger gets it, it's gonna be fruitful to black people in America, black people in Africa, black people in other nations. Mm-hmm. So it's gonna be more fruitful if he decides, if he gets a chance to do what he wants to do.
Okay. Somebody else?
This is basically the same thing that Travis said. I do agree with him because if more people have access to it, then there's other things that could be done with vibranium. Like, this is just an example, but someone could probably like find a cure to cure something with something that's found in vibranium. Like, it'll be more available for everybody.
Okay. So the markets are starting to roll into the long-term benefits, right? Health. Defense for a larger number of people, right? Whereas the fruitfulness would stagnate remaining in Wakanda, correct? It's just there. So with the utilitarian calculation, what happens is this, is that in this process, you are looking at the positive and negative trade-offs of the action. We'll just turn that into a math problem. You're looking at the positives and the negatives. And you're asking yourself, which of the actions is going to fall more to this side, the happiness or the pleasure? Now, let's go back to our Dorito example. Why can I not experience the intense pleasure of having Doritos, even though I didn't buy it? But DeMarcus, I'm coming to you, to Travis, and I'm appealing to you that I'm not able to buy Doritos. I want Doritos. Please advocate on my behalf so that I can have Doritos and experience an intense pleasure.
I think if they have been in your shoe before, like they've been hungry and they also want something like the Doritos, they will actually buy it for you because they've been in your shoe. They've experienced what it feels like not to have the Doritos. And if you're going to them and asking them for it, they should be able to buy it for you. I think so.
But what if they've never been in my shoes?
They won't.
They won't?
Yeah.
That's not true.
They
won't. How so? It's not true.
Because just because you haven't experienced something that somebody else has experienced, it doesn't mean you're not going to help them if they need something.
I think to me they won't because they've tested Doritos and they might think, oh, it's not, Doritos is not a big deal. It's not something everybody has to eat. It's not something, it's not that useful. I can actually get you what I need to find, not Doritos. So, I think
I wouldn't give you my Doritos, but if you needed, if you wanted some Doritos and that was like, you wanted them so bad, it was gonna make you so happy, I would buy them.
Yeah, but I want your Doritos tomorrow, too.
Oh, no.
No. Sorry.
In fact, every 30 days, I want...
Go to the store.
...a portion of your Doritos. I can't. I'm not able to.
That's where it's going to create that conflict and that war.
How so?
Because you're like,
you're taking something from me every day. You're taking it from me when I, when it belongs to me, you're taking it from me every day.
What is the word for like using? I can't think of the word.
So take me and turn it into about 40% of the population that wants some of your Doritos. And for whatever reason, whether physical incapability, economic incapability, mental incapability, I want to experience the pleasure and happiness that you experience when you consume Doritos. And I've asked Travis, I've asked Marcus to advocate on my behalf to make sure that every 30 days I get a portion of your Doritos.
They're going to be a conflict among the 40%.
But why should I have to give you my Doritos? But like, why should I have to give you Doritos when there's like, you should be able to do something to get Doritos? Like, I shouldn't have to be the only one providing.
No, you won't be. There's others like you that have Doritos.
What makes it?
Why is it in your self-interest?
That's why.
Not to give me your Doritos.
Because it's taking away from me. And my happiness.
Okay.
And it's not my job to make other people happy. It's only my job to make me happy.
Okay.
What about sharing the team? Like, splitting your Doritos?
That's not what the argument is. That's not what he's asking me, though.
What am I not asking?
Well, like you said, why is it, why is it a conflict to like for me to give you my Doritos?
Is it a conflict?
Yeah, because I'm hungry.
Who's establishing the conflict? No. I've asked for the Doritos. Who's
doing the resisting? I said I'll buy you Doritos.
Yes.
But every 30 days,
no. But why?
I don't have 30 days of Doritos money for you.
Sure you do.
I do, but I don't want to spend it on you.
Why?
Because I'm working for that money. Well, you could be in the same position I'm in. We could both get a job and you could be buying your own Doritos.
I'm not physically capable. I'm not mentally capable. I'm not economically capable.
Why are you asking for Doritos?
What did you say?
What does that have to do with me?
Okay.
Like, how'd I get my
problem? I have a
if
famous.
You can't work for it. I choose to give you.
I didn't say. I said I'm unable.
Okay, so if you can't do it, you
I
can't.
Said I'm unable.
Okay, so if you are not able to do it,
okay.
I'm giving you out of the kindness of my heart. That doesn't mean that I am obligated to do it all the time. I just doing it because I'm feeling nice at the moment.
But when the majority of the class has agreed upon,
when did they agree upon that?
Listen again. One of the elements of utilitarianism is this democratic nature. When the majority of the class has agreed upon that every 30 days, I and others like me are going to get a portion of your Doritos, what argument do you have against that?
I don't
want
to be
afraid. I don't have to agree with what they say. And even if they all agree to say that, I don't have to.
I just stopped eating Doritos.
Me too.
I don't have to abide by what they say just because they said it. That's just their opinion and this is my opinion. I'm good with the Doritos.
Okay.
How about y'all get some Doritos?
Good job. So, as a review, y'all gonna get messed up on Thursday. So y'all gonna get messed up on Thursday.
Why?
You'll see.
I ain't bringing no food.
I ain't bringing no food.
So utilitarianism, again, considers the action as being right when it benefits the greatest number of people. Now, in terms of Doritos, y'all saying that even though I just said that by getting a share of your Doritos will produce the greatest amount of happiness in my life and others like mine, you said that was wrong because you're entitled to those Doritos on the basis of ownership, work ethic. Okay. But for the utilitarian, which has a democratic, empirical, progressive, optimistic flavor to it, it is looking at the outcome. It is looking at, will this outcome have a pleasure that has an intensity, that has a duration, that's going to produce fruits and benefits for the long term? So was it right to create the FAFSA, the federal aid, so that you could go to school? Was it right for the creation of Medicare and Medicaid? It takes a portion of everybody's Doritos dollars so that those who are poor and those who are elderly can continue to have access to health care. Is it right that every time you go to the gas tank, if you have a car, and you pay for some gas, there's a tax that is added to it so that you can drive on a road, whether it's here in Little Rock or wherever you live? Were those outcomes, was that decision, was that action, was that utility right because of what it has produced? And if it is right, at what point do you get to say, no, you've come too far?
That's the thing, you don't get to say no, this is the government. They're taking that money out of your paycheck when you want to.
And for that, we will pick up on Thursday.
Yes, you.
Hey, if you found something of value, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Find us on Facebook at Dr. Philip Fletcher. Find us on Twitter at Philip Fletcher. And as always, visit us on the website philipfletcher.org.